Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 5 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for your presence being here. Lord, most of all, thank you that we get to be here. Lord, we stand before you needy. Though we've been taught in Sunday school this morning, we've heard the man of God preach about prayer this morning, because we're sinners, we still stand in need. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us so that we might get from heaven tonight what we need to help many, many other people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I announced this morning the title of this evening's sermon. It's called, How We Are to Be Like the Burning Bush. Earlier in Exodus chapter 3, we read five verses that tells us the story, that is that famous story about the burning bush of the Old Testament. Moses was attending to his father-in-law's flocks on the backside of the desert. He led the flocks to a mount called Mount Horeb. Moses looked, and while there at that mount, he sees a bush. That bush is on fire. In the bush, the Bible says, was the angel of the Lord. The bush burned, but it was not consumed. In other words, it did not burn up. There was a perpetual flame taking place. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Moses reasoned within himself that it was truly a miracle because the bush burned, but it was not being burned up. When God recognized that Moses was giving his attention to the bush, God then speaks to Moses out of the bush. The bush calls out Moses' name, says, Moses, Moses, and again, Moses, Moses. Moses answers the bush and says, Here am I. The bush, or God in the bush, tells Moses, he says, Moses, now, don't you come any closer. He uses the words, draw not nigh hither. Then God says, take off your shoes. He said, put off your shoes from off thy feet. And this is a special time and a special place in your life, Moses. It says, for thy place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moses obeys God. He doesn't come any closer. He puts his shoes off. He recognizes that this is a special place. And this day changes the life of Moses forever. God then uses Moses to lead the children of Israel for years and years and helps to lead them out of the captivity and lead them under some of the most adverse circumstances. Tonight I give our attention to that burning bush, that very bush that God used. See, I see some things about the burning bush that we as Christians could copy. There's some things about that bush that we could learn. There's some things about the bush that if we could be like a bush, what? Be like the bush. Not this bush. Be like that bush. I call the sermon How We Are to Be Like the Burning Bush. Let me say, first of all, we should be like the burning bush by being on fire for God. says in Exodus 3:2, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush, it burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." It talks about this bush being on fire. Now, that bush is on fire for who? It's on fire for God. It's on fire for God. And we get fired up about the Indy 500. Why not get fired up about God? We get fired up about the Super Bowl. Why not get fired up for God? We get fired up for the World Series. Why not get fired up for God? We get fired up for World Cup soccer. Why not get fired up for God? We get fired up for the Wimbledon. All, you know, tennis and the Olympics. Why not get fired up for God? We get fired up to make money. I think we ought to get fired up to serve God. People get fired up to go to Disney World. We ought to get fired up for God. If you can get fired up to go see Goofy, you could dead sure get fired up for God. It's only reasonable. We get fired up for Five Guys hamburgers. Why not God? They are of God, so it's okay to get fired up. You know, in the Bible, God compares His Word. In Jeremiah 23:29, God compares His Word to fire. We ought to get fired up about the Word of God. We ought to be glad that we have a Bible, and God has preserved the Word of God and inspired the Word of God, and He lets us have a copy of it so we can live by it. Get fired up for the Word of God. We ought to get fired up. The Bible, in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, God compares His Holy Spirit to a fire. We ought to desire the Holy Spirit to show its fire in our life and to purify us. We ought to be fired up about the Holy Spirit and fired up about the Word of God. God compares Himself to a fire. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 29, He says He's a consuming fire. Let's get fired up for God. Let's get fired up about the Holy Spirit. Let's get fired up about the Word of God. I just simply say to you, I glanced at this burning bush, and I thought, that bush is a good example to us. Here is a lowly little bush on the backside of the desert that teaches us something about our Christianity. We should be like the burning bush by being on fire for God. Secondly, we should be like that burning bush by not blending in with this world. We should be like the burning bush by not blending in with this world. In Exodus 3:3 it says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight." Why the bush is not burned. Moses said, I'm going to have to look at this. That's a great sight. It caught his attention. It grabbed his attention. Something was different. Something didn't fit into the background well. There he was on the backside of the desert. All of a sudden, he sees a bush. The bush is on fire. It's not consumed. It grabbed his attention. He couldn't help but look at it. He couldn't help but glance over. He said, I've got to stop and look at that. That is so interesting. That is so consuming of my attention. Now, folks, that bush stood out. It didn't blend in. And you and I were to be different. And just like that bush did not blend in, just like that bush was different, just like that bush was different than the background of the world in which it found itself in the world setting, you and I are to be different. Now, there's no way around it. I'm a little bit tired of a Christianity that wants to blend in. I'm not to be a chameleon. I'm to be a Christian. We're supposed to be different. Good Christians can't blend in. Good Christians can't blend in. Folks, we're just going to stick out. And I'm talking about more than the bubble on the front end of your body. I do stick out. But I'm talking about our Christianity, my Christianity, your Christianity. I don't know how in the world I was sitting in an office. I was sitting in a waiting room. I was waiting to go in. There were about 20 other people in the waiting room. The receptionist did not know who I was. The person I was about to see did not know who I was. I was sitting in the waiting room with 20 other adult people, and somebody walked in. The receptionist got up from the desk, never met her before in my life, didn't check in at the front window, walked over to me, and she said, I assume you're Dr. Owens, you're next. And I thought, how in the world? Evidently, I look like a Dr. Owens. I don't know what a Dr. Owens looks like. You know what it might have been? Might have been an attitude. But you know, you and I are not to fit in to this world. We're supposed to be different. People can tell by our attitude. People can tell by our spirit. People ought to know that you're a Christian by your honesty. The way we dress, the way we act, the way we talk, the way we behave. People ought to know. And some of us are almost ashamed of that. You don't need to be ashamed that you're different. We're the ones that are right. They're the ones that are weird. Folks, we're not to be different in an attempt to draw attention to ourselves. And if some people want to be different, so everybody looks at them and says, oh, you're different. That's not it. We're to be different because we're to be like God. We're to be like God. We're to do it God's way. So if you're trying to be different just so you can have somebody look at you and say, you're different, you're doing it for the wrong reason. It's not all about you. It's all about Him. It's all about the fact that we don't fit into this world. We sing the song over and over again. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And that's very, very true, folks. It's not our home. We won't feel totally comfortable down here. But I'll tell you, there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. I'll meet you in the rapture some sweet day. Folks, when we get to heaven, we're all going to fit in. We're all going to say amen about the same thing and love the same thing and do the same thing and believe the same thing. I can't wait to get there. But until then, we're not going to fit in. We're not going to fit in. And this burning bush, it did not blend in. And so I think there are some lessons that you and I can learn from this burning bush. I think we ought to be on fire for God. I think we should not blend into this world. Thirdly, I think we should be like the burning bush by changing someone's life for the better. A bush? Uh-huh. This occurrence with this burning bush changed the life of Moses forever. And then as a result, as a chain reaction, the lives of millions. The Bible says in Exodus 3:4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. That response, when that bush influenced Moses, and Moses, he responded to that bush, the life of Moses was changed forever. You understand, he was on the backside of the desert attending to his father-in-law's flocks, and he has interaction with this bush. He leaves that bush having taken off his shoes because he was on holy ground, having been told that God was about to do something spectacular in his life. He walked away a changed man. You know the story. You didn't have to be in church for long to know the story of what God did with Moses' life thereafter. Hey, let's be like the bush and influence people's lives for good and for God. That occurrence, that meeting with that lowly little bush changed somebody's life forever. We're all changing the lives around us, either for better or for worse. I preach a sermon. It's called Let's Be Life Changers. Let's be life changers. Many of you have heard the sermon preached. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes we get into our spiritual duties and we're more interested in the duty than we are the God of the duty. And if we're not careful, we lose interest in the God of the duty. And the God of the duty is interested in people. And the duty's all about people, not all about the duty. And we're supposed to be doing what we do to change the lives of people. That's what it's all about. This church, it's all about people. It's not about the chandeliers. It's not about the carpeting. It's not that we have this baby grand piano over here. It's not that our portfolio looks elaborate and that we own a lot of property. It's not about being a big church and being a church of clout. It's not all about having bank accounts. It's all about God. And God's primary interest is the people. We need to realize that what we do for the sake of God, and God loves people. We ought to be doing what we do to change the lives of people. It's time for some of you to add to being a bus worker, being a life changer. We need to add to being a Sunday school teacher, changing the lives of people. I'll tell you something. A Sunday school teacher that's merely trying to cover their material is nowhere near doing what they ought to do. You're not just trying to transfer some information. You're trying to change the life of somebody forever. Stand up there and teach with a passion to please God and help people. You see, we ought to be like that bush. Moses came in contact with the burning bush, and that burning bush changed the life of Moses forever. Hey, don't just be a soloist that sings. Be a soloist that changes the lives of people. Don't just be a church employee. Be an employee that changes the lives of people forever. Don't just be a youth worker or a King's Kids worker. Don't just be a nursery worker. Change the lives of people. That's what it's all about. It's sad to me that there are a few people in our church that are changing people for the worse. I've watched some associate with some of you, and I'm losing them. They used to be right in the center of the circle of everything going on around here, and they got around you. You justify everything that you do wrong, and now you're pulling them away from God. God help you. We're to be a burning bush that draws people closer to the cause of Christ, not pulls them away. We should be like that burning bush. I think we ought to be like the burning bush because that burning bush was on fire for God. I think we ought to be like the burning bush by not blending into this world. I think we ought to be like that burning bush by changing someone's life for good and for God and making a difference in somebody's life. Number four, I think we ought to be like the burning bush by not becoming consumed or by being consumed by the heat. By the heat. The Bible says in Exodus 3:2, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. In other words, the bush held up under the heat. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're going to last in your Christianity, you're going to have to hold up under the heat. You got to hold up under the heat. Hey, you start being productive for God, and the devil's going to put some heat on you. You got to hold up under the heat. You got to hold up under the pressure. When the fires of life come, you've got to stay close to God. You've got to make sure that you don't let the heat destroy you. That bush, pretty good example to us. Pretty good example to us. Are you going through a fire in life? Don't let it consume you. Don't let it sour you. Don't let it get you away from God. Don't let it get you away from your Sunday school class. Don't let it get you away from your school. Don't let it get you away from your church. Don't let it get you away from the Bible. Don't let the fire destroy you. The burning bush was not consumed. That burning bush wanted to be used of God. It was under pressure. It was under fire. It was under whatever it was that was happening to it in that fire. And the burning bush said, I'm hanging in there. God said, little bush, I want to use you. You got to hang in there. The fire's on. That bush with everything that it had, it said, I'll keep burning. I'll not be consumed. You say, well, there was a miraculous intervention of God. Yes, indeed, there was. And there is a miraculous intervention of God available to you if you want to hold up in the fire. Don't crumble in the fire. The bush could have never been used had it not been on fire. So you need to realize what God's doing is putting you through a purification process, and purification comes through fire. Through fire. We should be like the burning bush by not being consumed by the heat. Next, I see that we should be like the burning bush by being humbly usable. By being humbly usable. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It was a bush. Just a plain, ordinary, everyday bush. And I say to you, that bush was just humbly usable. Those simple words, or a combination of those words, are used 5 times in 3 verses. In verse 2 it says, a bush. In verse 2 it says, the bush. In verse 2 again it says, the bush. In verse 3 it says, the bush. In verse 4 it says, the bush. It doesn't say the exotic bush. It doesn't say the expensive bush. It doesn't say the unique bush. It just says the bush. The bush. it's unlikely that God would use a humble bush for such a miracle. It's a bit unlikely. Why would God use this unlikely little humble bush? I'll tell you why. Because the bush was willing to be used. I don't know if God went through a process looking for something to use, but if He did, if He looked at the other elements on the backside of the desert, and God said, you know, I'd like to use something I created down there, and I would like to use it to do a miracle. I think the little bush said, Lord, I don't deserve to be used, and I'm probably the last one you're going to pick, but I'm willing. Are you willing? I believe the bush was humble. Humble but willing. I believe God used this little bush to do such a miraculous thing because God knew that if He used that bush, God would get the glory. I mean, God looked down and said, you know what? If I use that little bush for this miracle, that little bush will give me the honor and the praise and the glory. And everybody's going to walk away saying, look at that little humble bush. And look how great God is. And by the way, God deserves all the glory. And God deserves all the praise. And God deserves all the attention. Hey, maybe it is that a more magnificent thing would have been filled with pride, but the bush was just filled with a willingness to be used. It was unlikely. The bush was unlikely, but it was willing and it was usable. See, this little bush, it really had no will for itself. I don't think this bush was reasoning within itself saying, well, I've got a plan, and God, if I can work you into my plan, I'll do that. And God, if I have time to get around to doing something for you, I'll do that. I think the little bush said, God, I don't have any plans right now. Whatever you want is what I want. You tell me when, you tell me where, you tell me how much, and I'm in, God, because I have no plans for this little bush. My only plan, God, is you. 100%. God said, I've been looking for a humble little bush that I could use to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ. God uses nobodies like a lad who gave Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He used that nobody, that little lad, to feed 5,000 men. God uses little people like the widow and her 2 mites. God uses the humble jawbone of a donkey to help Samson slay 1,000 Philistines in 1 fight. Hey, God was looking for a humble, usable little bush, not a fancy bush, not a bush that was elaborate or that just beckoned for attention and had to have the limelight. No, just a little bush that was willing and humble. God's not looking for people who are big in His eyes. He's looking for people who are little in their own eyes. Did you hear that? God's not looking for people who are big in His eyes. He's looking for people who are little in their own eyes. And I believe that God used this little, humble, out of the way, common, ordinary, everyday bush because it was humbly willing to be used however God wanted to use it. I see in this story that a bush is a good example to a human being. I see that you and I, we too need to be on fire for God, and we too should not blend into this world, and we should be using our influence in changing someone's life for the better. I see that this bush was not consumed by the heat. We need not be consumed by the heat of this life, and that He was humbly usable. And then finally, number 6, we should be like the burning bush by realizing what came out of the bush was God. What came out of the bush was God, and it was of God. The Bible says in Exodus 3:2, it says, out of the midst of a bush. In verse 4, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. I see what was in it came out of the midst of it. And what was that? It was of God. Yes. Folks, what came out of this bush was pure. Yes. What came out of this bush was decent. What came out of this bush was holy. Now, folks, we need to make sure that what comes out of us is pure. We need to make sure what comes out of us is decent. We need to make sure what comes out of us is holy.
Let's make sure that our words are pure words. Let's make sure that those words that we say are honest words and decent words and holy words. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's make sure that you and I follow the example of a little lowly bush on the backside of the desert. That which came out of the bush was decent and holy and pure. And that came out of that bush was of God. What came out of that bush was not hateful. That which came out of that bush was not vengeful. That which came out of that bush was not worldly. That which came out of that bush was not compromising. That which came out of that bush was not evil. That which came out of that bush was not critical. It was not disloyal. It was not lustful. It was not filthy. It was not vile. That which came out of the bush was pure and holy. God was coming out of that bush. And folks, people ought to see coming out of us the words of God, the behavior of God, the action of God, the love of God, the purity of God. That's what ought to come out. And it would come out if you were filled up to overflowing to where it just came out. If you got to spend your time searching for the right thing to say all the time, you're not full of God. You got a little bit in the bottom of the bucket, but if it was filled up, you would be functioning on overflow. But we should be like that burning bush by realizing what came out of the bush was of God. I love this story. I've heard it many times over. This time I glanced at the little bush and said to myself, if a bush could be a good Christian, that bush right there would definitely be a good Christian. Let you and I learn from the bush how we are to be like the burning bush. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You let the sermon do a work in your life. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you die tonight and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, why don't you come during this altar call and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. The men that are currently sitting on the platform, in a moment will step down off the platform. They're going to post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat in a moment. You walk up to one of these men and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Somebody out there, you've been saved and you've never made it public. Why don't you come tonight and do that? Somebody out there, you've been saved and you've never been baptized. Why don't you come do that tonight? Somebody, under the sound of my voice, you've been saved. You've been baptized. You need to join our church. Why don't you come? Somebody tonight needs to be influenced by the burning bush. Somebody needs to come and get on your knees and say, oh, what that bush was. I see an element in my life that needs to be revived or added as an example of that little lowly bush. Anybody here tonight say, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Others, you say, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. If you're not saved, if you just raised your hand, or you should have and you did not, when the altar call's given, you come. Is there somebody here tonight that would say, preacher, there's something about the burning bush that needs to be applied to my life. God's spoken to me. That helps me. And would you raise your hand and say, God spoke to me about something right there. God bless you. May put your hand down. I believe there are people still mulling over the sermon this morning on the simplicity of prayer. I think there's somebody that should have come this morning, talk to God about the inadequacy of your prayer life. If you need the altar, you come. I'm going to ask.